Good morning.
Good morning.
Great to see you in the house of the Lord on a beautiful morning the Lord has given to us. So, how many doors do you have in that place you call home? Do you ever get mixed up in what door you need when you need to find something? Or do you open the closet door when you meant to go outside? Doors do serve a purpose. And speaking of doors, there is only one door which leads to heaven. What is that door, and how do we know that is the correct door? Questions such as these lead us into our worship this morning. And so may God bless it. God, who is good, how often? All the time. For this too is a day the Lord has made. Let us and to help us do just that. Let's turn our attention to our first hymn, hymn 255 in the red hymnal. Please stand as we turn to our service bulletin. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you.
And also with you.
God invites us to come into his presence and worship him with humble and penitent hearts. Therefore, let us acknowledge our sinfulness and ask him to forgive us. Holy and merciful Father, I confess that I am by nature sinful, and that I have disobeyed you in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have done what is evil, and failed to do what is good. For this I deserve your punishment, both now and in eternity. But I am truly sorry for my sins, and trusting in my Savior Jesus Christ, I pray, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. God, our Heavenly Father, has been merciful to us and has given His only Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ and by His authority, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
For all that we need in life, and for the wisdom to use all your gifts with gratitude and joy, hear our prayer, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the steadfast assurance that nothing can separate us from your love, and for the courage to stand firm against the assaults of Satan and every evil, hear our prayer, O Christ.
Christ, have mercy.
For the well-being of your holy church in all the world, and for those who offer here their worship and praise, hear our prayer, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Merciful God, maker and preserver of life, uphold us by your power and keep us in your tender care.
Amen.
The works of the Lord are great and glorious. His name is worthy of praise. Almighty and everlasting God, give us an increase of faith, hope, and love. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated. We're at the 14th Sunday after Pentecost, and our first reading for this Sunday takes us to the book of Judges, the 7th chapter, where it's emphasized not by human might, our own efforts, do we conquer our enemies, the ones that matter most in particular, but rather by God's might do we overcome. These words of encouragement through Gideon. Early in the morning, Jerubbaal, that is Gideon, and all his men camped at the spring of Horeb. The camp of Midian was north of them in the valley near the hill of Morah. The Lord said to Gideon, "You have too many men. I cannot deliver Midian into their hands, or Israel would boast against me. My own strength has saved me. Now announce to the army, anyone who trembles with fear may turn back and leave Mount Gilead." So 22,000 men left, while 10,000 remained. But the Lord said to Gideon, "There are still too many men. Take them down to the water, and I will thin them out for you there. If I say, 'This one shall go with you,' he shall go. But if I say, 'This one shall not go with you,' he shall not go." So Gideon took the men down to the water. There the Lord told him, "Separate those who lap the water with their tongues as a dog laps from those who kneel down to drink." 300 of them drank from cupped hands, lapping like dogs. All the rest got down on their knees to drink. The Lord said to Gideon, "With the 300 men that lapped, I will save you and give the Midianites into your hands. Let all the others go home." So Gideon sent the rest of the Israelites home, but kept the 300, who took over the provisions and trumpets of the others. This is the word of the Lord. Let us continue by joining together in Psalm 72. The Apostle Paul expresses his passion for spreading the gospel. We hear this encouragement from Romans chapter 9. I speak the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience confirms it through the Holy Spirit. I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart. For I could wish that I myself were cursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my people, those of my own race, the people of Israel. Theirs is the adoption to sonship. Theirs the divine glory, the covenants, the receiving of the law, the temple worship, and the promises. Theirs are the patriarchs, and from them is traced the human ancestry of the Messiah, who is God over all, forever praised. Amen. It is not, though, as though God's word had failed, for not all who are descended from Israel are Israel, nor because they are his descendants are they all Abraham's children. On the contrary, it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. In other words, it is not the children by physical descent who are God's children, but it is the children of the promise who are regarded as Abraham's offspring. For this was how the promise was stated. At the appointed time, I will return, and Sarah will have a son. The word of the Lord. Please rise for the gospel reading. Take it from the Holy Gospel of St. Luke, the 13th chapter. Do you have what it takes to get through the correct door? Jesus points to that door and also provides the way through it. Then Jesus went through the towns and villages teaching as he made his way to Jerusalem. Someone asked him, "Lord, are only a few people going to be saved?" He said to them, "Make every effort to enter through the narrow door, because many, I tell you, will try to enter and will not be able to. Once the owner of the house gets up and closes the door, you will stand outside knocking and pleading, 'Sir, open the door for us.' But he will answer, 'I don't know you or where you come from.' Then you will say, 'We ate and drank with you, and you taught in our streets.' But he will reply, 'I don't know you or where you come from. Away from me, all you evildoers.' There will be weeping there and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, but you yourselves thrown out. People will come from east and west and north and south, and will take their places at the feast in the kingdom of God. Indeed, there are those who are last who will be first, and the first who will be last." This is the gospel of the Lord. Please be seated as we continue with our next hymn.
Thank you.
Grace and peace and mercy are yours in great abundance. And this is a reality from God our Father through our living Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We want to focus back in on the gospel reading for today. And so we hear once again these words from Luke 13. Make every effort to enter through the narrow door, because many, I tell you, will try to enter and will not be able to. This is God's word, we pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Dear fellow redeemed people of God, by the door, Jesus Christ. So how many doors do we have in this place we are using for worship? Which doors do you see? Which ones don't you see? Depending on how many doors or what you want to classify as a door, there are at least 20 and over 30. So if there was an emergency situation, which door are you going to use? You only need one door, correct? If you used one of the internal doors, well, you might just get stuck inside. If you use one of the external doors, but there may be danger lurking on the other side of that door, well, that wouldn't be good, would it? So which door are we going to use? Again, it only takes one door for us to get through. There is only one door that matters when it comes to having a positive relationship with God. When it comes to being at peace and calm on the inside, when there is turmoil possibly going on in our own life, and when there is turmoil going on in the world around us, and when isn't there turmoil going on around us? There is a reason why the Lord repeatedly points out through his scriptures what we are to do to help us be at peace and calm. Why he encourages us to give up whatever it is that is causing us to be anxious, or whatever causes us to be worried, whether it be for a moment or whether it be ongoing. He reminds us, he encourages us to give it up to him. To give it up to him in prayer. Prayer spoken based on his promises. While there are many doors, that is, ideas, that are offering this or that as a way to get through this life, to help us deal with this or that which is going on in our life, dear friends, there is only one door that really matters. How do we know which door that is? Jesus makes it very clear what that door is. What that door is we need for life now and to help us get to the life after this one. And it is Jesus who gives us the smarts to know which door we need to go through while we are here on this earth, emergency situation or not. Jesus makes that clear as he was on his way to Jerusalem. Jesus knows what is waiting for him there at Jerusalem. He's not purposely delaying his getting there, but he is taking his time getting there. And while he is getting there, he's going through various towns and villages and cities, proclaiming the good news of why he is here, of God's promises being fulfilled, that God still cares for his people. And to emphasize that good news, he does miracles of healing, just as the Old Testament prophets prophesied that the one who would come, who was promised by God, would heal the sick, give sight to the blind, give hearing to the deaf, cause the lame to walk, raise the dead. People were seeing some amazing things by this guy they had trouble figuring out who he was. Some, by the grace of God and the work of the Holy Spirit, knew who he was, the promised one, Others were still scratching their head, trying to figure it out. And it's to those especially that Jesus is talking to today, because he cared and he still cares about those who have come to faith in him by the grace of God, as well as for those who are still scratching their head about him, as well as for those who have plain out rejected him. God still cares for them. As long as there is breath in them on this side of heaven, we care too. As we said, Jesus knew what was waiting for him when he would arrive in Jerusalem. He knew why he had come. It wasn't for himself, but for us, for the people of this world. Remember John the Baptist saying about Jesus, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of one person." No, who takes away the sin of the world. Jesus cares. Jesus knows that we will be tempted by the many doors that exist in this world, the many ideas and false hopes that people offer, even in the name of God. And that's why he gives us that strong encouragement to make every effort to enter through the narrow door, because there are many doors out there, and the bigger doors seem appealing. Well, maybe when you're moving furniture, yes, but we're talking about our soul. We're talking about the way to heaven, and there is only one way to heaven. But the world will want you to say, no, there is not. There are many ways to heaven. And how foolish and backward you are if you hang on to the fact that there is only one way to heaven. But that's the reality. And who wrote the book? And it's not outdated. It's still very applicable to the people of this world today, including you and me. Jesus is that door. And for all the temptations then that we face, and at times we're willing to compromise with others and say, yeah, there must be multiple doors. If God is a loving God, surely he would have other doors to heaven. For all the moments of pride in ourselves, rather being those humble servants that God wants us to be, we're putting more emphasis on our works, and surely God has to be accepting of me because of what I do. For our misleading people on the road that leads to Christ, good intentions or not, Jesus went to the cross for that too. Each and every one of our sins, intentional or not, has been paid for, wiped out before God our Father because of what Jesus has done for us while he was on his way to Jerusalem and in Jerusalem. His act of obedience showed him to be indeed the one that was promised, and his passive obedience, giving himself up on the cross, that, dear friends, means that we are forgiven. So many doors out there, but be careful that we don't fall prey to the faulty logic of this world. It's not an automatic in either, as Jesus points out. Just because you have Abraham in your bloodline does not mean you're automatically into heaven. Just because your great-grandfather was a pillar of this congregation does not mean you're an automatic in. Just because you were baptized 30 years ago but have done nothing with your faith since does not mean you're an automatic in. Faith is something living. Faith is individual. And if you don't nurture that living faith, it's going to die. And that's why Jesus says, then make every effort to enter through the narrow door. It's not a one and done baptism check. Now I don't have to do anything with my faith. It's not I came to church once and Or maybe I come at Christmas and Easter, and the rest of the time, Lord, I'm using the other doors in life. What efforts are you doing to keep your faith alive and well? What efforts are you taking to stay on the narrow path that God has provided to keep us in Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life? Jesus is the way. No one, he says, comes to the Father except through me. And it's by believing in the name of the Lord Jesus that we are saved. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Jesus is the door. And that's something we should not be ashamed of declaring. For Jesus did say, as we heard recently, those who are ashamed of me, when I come back, well, I will be ashamed of them. And he did remind us, I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. He wants everyone to be at peace with him. And he's provided the way for that to happen. But he knows that people are going to reject him. And that people are going to stir up the pot, even inside the church. Because he said, watch out for wolves in sheep's clothing. They're going to try to compromise the scriptures. They're going to try to say that there are many doors. But there's only one door. And Jesus, the door, said, whoever holds to my teaching, you are my disciples indeed. Not the ones who compromise. Not the one who advocate many doors. But the one who holds to the true door, Jesus Christ. It is this door, Jesus Christ, that keeps us on the God path. So what is it that is distracting you from staying on the God path? What is it that is distracting you from staying connected to Jesus, the doorway to heaven? Keep in mind, as we struggle with whatever that distraction might be, it is not going to be easy. God didn't say the road to heaven was going to be easy. But he did say, I'm going to be with you every step of the way. In fact, there are going to be times when I am carrying you on that way, even though you may think you are carrying yourself. For God is with us always. And he can use our struggles as a way to keep us focused. The reason why we struggle is why the Apostle Paul even struggled. Remember in Romans 7, he said, the good that I want to do, I do not do, but the evil I don't want to do, that I keep on doing. What a wretched man I am. Who's going to rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through Jesus Christ, the door. So it's important then that we examine our own heart. Are we making every effort given to us by God and through God to stay connected to him and walking on the God path? Dear friends, the door has been opened to us by the grace of God. He uses the waters of holy baptism. He uses the gospel in the word itself to bring people unto himself. And now is the day to do that. Because there will come a time when the day will end. And as Jesus points out, it'll be too late. People will be there standing, knocking on the door. And he will say, away from me, I don't know you. The door has been closed. So it's important that we don't delay. Not only in nurturing our own relationship with God through Jesus Christ, but also reaching out to others with the door that leads to heaven in a positive relationship with God. Lest they come to that end, which Jesus was trying to warn the Pharisees about, who thought, hey, we have Abraham, we're all set, we're following all these man-made rules, well, somewhat, so surely we have it all set in place already. We don't need that Messiah any longer. But Jesus said to them, and he says to all those who think that way, away from me. That's what you're going to hear if you continue on that road. Away from me, you who are more focused on yourself than on Christ. That's why it's also important for us to reflect on our priorities. What are they in life? We've talked about the importance of staying connected to the Word, of recognizing what our distractions are to that connection, and then making every effort to overcome those distractions by the grace of God. And then in examining our own priorities, how is it then that we can lead others who are sometimes hostile to our attempts to share the gospel with them? Well, we follow Jesus' example of speaking words and doing actions of kindness and compassion and showing patience and forgiveness. There ought to be something different about us who follow Christ than of the people of this world. We are to be the salt and the light. And so as part of the priority examination and self-examination for this week, look at what you are doing perhaps that is not coming across as a word of kindness or compassion, or as an action of kindness and compassion, well-intentioned or not. What do I need to be doing differently so that people see Jesus through me and ultimately see Jesus as the door to heaven? Dear friends, we have Moses and the prophets. We have the Word of God before us. We know who the door is, but not everyone does. God uses you then to point people to the only door that matters. And that door is Christ. And that door is the one that keeps us on the God path. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard and keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let us confess our Christian faith with the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became fully human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who in unity with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Christian apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Lord, you love the cheerful giver, who with open heart and hand blesses freely as a river that refreshes all the land. Grant us then the grace of giving with a spirit large and true, that our life and all our living we may consecrate to you. Amen. We continue with the prayer of the church. Gracious God and Father, we praise you for the countless blessings which we receive from your hand, the beauties of creation and the bounties of the earth, the joy of life and the privilege, pleasure of friendship, the good of work and the gift of rest, the privilege to share happiness and sorrow with one another. Above all, we praise and thank you for your saving word and for your Son's body and blood, which you give us to eat and to drink in the sacrament. Through these means of grace, you send the Holy Spirit into our hearts and unite us to Jesus and to the whole Christian church on earth. Great God and Lord, without your continuing help, we easily waver in our faith, lose courage, and grow careless in our watchfulness. The times and days are perilous. Give us strength to face the evils of each day with fresh confidence. Open our lips to speak of your grace, and move us to use the gifts that you give us to share your word of salvation with all people. Protect and prosper the family, the school, the government, and all good institutions that you have established for the benefit of society. Remember in mercy those who are sick and suffering, and bring your healing to troubled homes and lives.
Move us to pray for those in need, and to help them with the ease of Christ.
Lord, bring healing to Daniel Johnson, Linda Haffill, and Vicki Underwood as they receive medical treatment. And as you refresh their bodies, we pray also reassure them of your forever abiding presence with them, as they find rest in the healing you have made possible for them and all through Jesus. Continue to watch over the coming and going of those able to celebrate another year of grace here on earth. And for those celebrating a wedding anniversary, renew the couple's love for each other as they reflect on the love you have for them. Now hear us, Lord, as we bring you our private petitions. Now, eternal God and Father, keep us in the saving faith and so enable us to overcome all things through our Lord Jesus Christ, who also taught us to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks and praise.
Praise to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In love, he has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. He sends the Holy Spirit to testify that we are his children and to strengthen us when we are weak. Now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and thanks and honor and glory forever and ever. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he gave it thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
Hear the prayer of your people, O Lord, that the lips which have praised you here may glorify you in the world, that the eyes which have seen the coming of your Son may long for his coming again, and that all who have received in his true body and blood the pledge of your forgiveness may be restored to live a new and holy life. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, go in peace. Live in harmony with one another. Serve the Lord with gladness. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
Morning again. Just to highlight a couple of announcements, we have Bible Hour taking place for all ages. It's 9:15 for the Sunday school and 9:30 for the rest of the ages. Then a reminder that our BIC class, member information class, begins tonight, a new session. So please see the bulletin board for more details or the website or Pastor Growth for more details and information. It's 5 o'clock tonight. Then next Saturday, we have our cook-off, a community cook-off, opportunity to get to know our neighbors and invite them here to get to know us. And we have different contests going on, and the Metro Fire Department will be here for a little bit, and we have bouncy houses and so forth. So it's a good way to introduce friends and family to St. Mark's. And then the day after, we have a Friendship Sunday, opportunity to meet and grow, meet and greet those that we invited on Saturday, as well as other people that we invite who weren't able to make it on Saturday. So keep that in mind. There still is a gift card there for Pastor Kalpin and family, the new pastor who will be serving the Folsom Mission. If you're so inclined to give a gift card, that would be the place to do so. Or you can talk to Dan Cummins or Larry and Sue Dilgard throughout the week, and you can give them a gift card that way. The installation for Pastor Kalpin is on the 22nd, so next week in the afternoon at 4 o'clock here at the church, and then there'll be a meal afterwards. If you're able to make it for the meal as well, please see the sign-up sheet there in the entryway or RSVP to Dan Cummins, or you can also RSVP to the church office, and we'll make sure that gets recorded. See the weekly news for other events that are taking place here at St. Mark's and through St. Mark's, and just a final word here, just a brief note. Mr. Thiesfeldt, our principal, has announced his retirement after 44 years of being a principal. That's pretty cool. So right now, the Board of Child Discipleship and the Coordinating Council will be determining the next steps. That will be through our district presidium. So there will be a formal call meeting process. There will be not an automatic moving up of anyone at this point in time, but nothing's off the table. So just we want to thank Mr. Thiesfeldt for his years of service. And he's not done yet. He's not done yet. The year is long, and who knows what the next year provides. There are many opportunities, many things to focus in on. So we're not going to jump to any conclusions. We're going to let the BCD come up with a plan and go from there. So more details to follow. Calling season opens October 15th. So we'll try to be ready with a plan by October 15th, at least phase one of that plan. Meet and greet one another. Take the opportunity to do so and continue to point people to the right door. Penny is right. Is that ready and geared to go?
It is.
All right. Penny has. Thank you for that reminder.
Oh. Oh. Stop, stop, stop.
That was your music interlude. Hey, Rosemary. Sorry. My bad. We got Penny here.
Hi, my name is Penny Beauchamp, and I just have a few things I want to say about Women's Retreat. And one of them is there's a video I want to show you. Few of you remember when we used to have women retreats, when St. Mark's used to host them. However, we're not doing that at the current time, and the Apostles is doing it. And they have a beautiful setting at Mount Hermon. It's in the under the redwood trees in the Santa Cruz Mountains. The theme this year is going to be Peace When Circumstances Don't Change. And the speaker, Naomi Schmidt, she's a well-known Wells writer and speaker. She also has done a lot of our different Advent by candlelight. So the weekend is full of women of God's Word, fellowship with your sisters in Christ, music, crafts. There's trails for hiking, excellent food with a variety of choices, and shopping. There is this really great bookstore, gift store, so you may want to keep that in mind. There's different kinds of accommodations, and I stayed in one of the lesser ones, and it was just like a small, older hotel room, and I had to make my own bed, but the bedding was right there for me, and so it was not a big deal. Eliana stayed in a different kind of a room, and I think even Jenny Colander stayed like in a little house when you have more people. So save the date, January 10th through the 12th. There's a registration fee. It's $85 right now till October 1st, and then it goes up to $100 plus the room cost, so make that in mind. If you want to talk to someone who's been there before, Jenny Colander says you can talk to her, Barbara Carpenter, myself, or Eliannis, And another plug I want to give is that tomorrow night, the third Monday of every month, we have a women's Bible class, and it's at Black Bear. We changed it from Marie Callender's to Black Bear, 6 o'clock, and we have fellowship and food from 6 to 7, and at 7 o'clock we start a Bible class. Right now we're starting the Apostles' Creed with Luther's Catechism, so any women who want to join us on that, you're welcome to come. Thank you, and now you can greet each other, and Rosemary can play that beautiful music.